Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Miller Lite. Triple Hops Brewed Miller Lite. Taste greatness. You're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 421. I'm Amy Matheny, and wow, what a fantastic Tony Awards on Sunday night. It would have only been made entirely perfect if our very own Coleman Domingo had won, but man, he and his partner Raul were the hottest couple that the audience panned to by far. And Coleman, we were all with you and sending you so much love. And what an awesome, awesome thing to have you be a Tony Award nominee. It was such a great night. And really, the whole night goes to Neil Patrick Harris. It was so extraordinary. And what really showed his abilities were, of course, the opening and closing number. But then right in the middle, the wonderful duel, I'd like to call it, the host duel with Hugh Jackman and Neil Patrick Harris. Just fantastic. And if that wasn't enough, he headlined the production number from Company that is now going to be in movie theaters in limited run. You need to check that out. It's definitely going to be in Evanston, the Landmark, and River East here in Chicago. And I cannot wait to see it. I'm going to try to get out and see it this week. But it was really a huge night. And there were a lot of stars there. But this year, it was like a lot of those stars had really done their dues on Broadway stages mostly. And the night really belonged to Book of Mormon and Warhorse, and I don't think that was a surprise to anyone. Really, I don't believe there were a ton of surprises in the night. And just to go through a few that were really amazing. Ellen Barkin winning with John Benjamin Hickey, both for supporting roles in Normal Heart, and everyone seemed to give Joe Mantello his proper due, as well as Larry Kramer. How fantastic a night for Larry Kramer, decades after he wrote that fantastic play. All the production numbers were so good. You know, I really loved the number from Scottsboro Boys. I thought it represented fantastically. And of course, for our community, Martha Wash doing Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Couldn't have been any better with all those fantastic costumes, which Priscilla won as well, the costume award. One of the funniest lines I thought of the night was when Robin Williams was talking about, you know, this room is incredible. The only beard here is on my face. And, it is. It's the gayest award show in history, as they spoofed, or as Neil Patrick Harris spoofed, it's not just for gays anymore at the top of the show. But just really good classic Broadway musical theater, from the number from How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying to the number from Anything Goes, where we got the rousing tap number. And then, nothing's better than Company. It was just a fantastic, fantastic showing on so many fronts. And I really thought Larry Kramer's speech was amazing and prophetic, talking about us as GLBT people, that we are a special people, and we are indeed. And so many of those special people thanked their partners from the stage. And Chicago also was well represented by Looking Glass Theater, which won the Regional Theater Award. And even though they don't show that award, they did show a clip from that award where we saw Andy White from Looking Glass receiving that award. So really just amazing. And I thought Nikki James had the speech of the night for me about the Bumblebee, the African-American best featured musical actress for Book of Mormon. I have not seen Book of Mormon yet, but I did. I have downloaded it, and I cannot wait to get to New York and see it. Really, I think that made a lot of people want to go to Broadway, and that's the point, you know, to keep that legacy alive. Well, we are barreling into Pride Weekend, and there's so much going on here at Windy City. We have our big Windy City Gay Idol Finals this Saturday at 3 o'clock. It starts sharply with Sophia Sapphire hosting this year the finals. I am stepping down, and Sophia has led the charge the whole season of Gay Idol this year. We want to thank Miller Lite so much for being our premium sponsor, and also Tourism Vancouver, because somebody's going to fly to Vancouver from our audience and have a trip for two to Vancouver. How fantastic is that? And so you just have to be there, show up, and you will automatically be entered to win that. Or also Miller Lite has donated a Trek mountain bike. So somebody in our audience is going away. A couple people are going to go away with really big prizes. Plus we have Ravinia tickets to give away and theater tickets around town. So you don't want to miss it. You want to be at Gay Idol Finals. If the sun is shining, that is a perfect way to spend the afternoon with cocktails. You can float around the bar. You can see it in every inch of the bar or on the rooftop if you want to get a little sun and watch and listen. It is really the show of the year. And Cyan Flair, Billboard artist and performer Cyan Flair, will be guest performing, as well as the new up-and-coming hot double DJ dancers, which are super fun. So I am just thrilled. Plus our 2010 Gay Idol Matt Rivera will pass down his crown. And so do not miss that. Head on out. And of course, it's Father's Day this Sunday. So want to send all of our love to dads everywhere. Maybe they're not your dad of origin, the dad that was really your birth, you know, birth father, birth mother, dad. But, you know, we have and, you know, go ahead, let the daddy joke start. But, you know, we all find father figures in our lives. And if your father has passed on, then perhaps you are thinking of those other father figures in your life. Or maybe you are somebody who can be a father figure for a young GLBT person and be a mentor. And I just think that that's what I remember on a Father's Day is the people who have kind of fathered us. And that may not in all cases be someone's actual father, the family that you were born into. And that's okay too. Those are one of those wonderful gifts that come to us. I'm excited about today's show. This is a book that is going on my shelf. Sometimes I pass books off because, you know, I get a lot of books doing this show. And this is one that I said, hey, I'm going to keep that one. I'm probably going to need to reference it quite a lot. I'm talking about Stephen Petro's Complete Gay and Lesbian Manners for Every Occasion, the definitive guide to LGBT life. It's a great guide, and it talks about everything from coming out and dating and social networks and relationships and getting married and starting a family and all of these little queries that we might have about how to live our lives and why is it different? Are our manners different and how we respond and you know, how we communicate and present ourselves as GLBT people. I think it's important. I think it's important how we represent. And this book is amazing. It really does bring together so many insights and questions. And Stephen Petro is a former president of the National Gay and Lesbian Journalists Association, and he has been a columnist for so many people, Q Syndicate, The Huffington Post, Logos365Gay.com, The Advocate, Los Angeles Times, Salon, The Daily Beast, I mean, The New York Times, I mean, just tons. So this book is great. And so I'm so excited to talk a little bit about how to be mannerly you know, even when you're imbibing during the Pride season. Plus, Richard Knight Jr.'s got a movie review with that hot Brad Pitt. And what's going on in the news, a big story about the blogger who we have all been following from a gay girl from Damascus and how that story has changed and evolved over the past just few days. Plus, what's going on in the theater world, because, hey, About Face Theater has launched a show called The Homosexuals. What could be better for the season of homosexuals than to go see The Homosexuals with About Face Theater? Doesn't get any gayer than that, except maybe this podcast.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. Despite the threat of a boycott from the Conservative American Family Association, or AFA, Home Depot will continue sponsoring gay events. The AFA presented Home Depot Chairman Frank Blake with a petition allegedly containing 500,000 signatures from people threatening to stop shopping at the chain. However, Blake reiterated Home Depot's commitment to promoting diversity.
In South Carolina, one of the state's largest counties unanimously passed an LGBT-inclusive non-discrimination ordinance. Richland County, which houses the capital of Columbia, now joins its county seat and the city of Charleston in offering such protections.
United States Representatives Jim McDermott, Richard Hanna, Earl Blumenauer, and Nan Hayworth introduced the Tax Parity for Health Plan Beneficiaries Act in the House of Representatives. The bill would end the unfair taxation of employer-provided health insurance for domestic partners.
In Atlanta, authorities have reopened the case of John E. Ray, who was stabbed and beaten to death in 2004 by a man who may have targeted him through a gay dating site. The killer showered and cleaned the murder scene. However, new technology has compelled the police to reopen the case.
Gay Straight Alliance Network has announced its new Safe and Healthy LGBT Youth Project, made possible by the organization's first federal grant. The Department of Adolescent and School Health at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has awarded more than $285,000 for this multi-level project, which will increase the capacity of schools and community-based organizations to reach LGBT youth over the next 5 years. The project will directly impact 10,500 youth.
Republican Rick Santorum has announced his 2012 run for president. Santorum said his stance on conservative issues, opposing abortion rights and same-sex marriage, gives him an edge.
And openly gay GOP presidential hopeful Fred Carger said that he is running as an independent Republican. Carger also said, in certain circles, it gets me a seat at the table, being the first openly gay candidate for president of the United States in history. But I'm a lot more than that. I'm a moderate Republican trying to bring younger people in and have an effect on the Republican Party.
A new study released by the federal government and the CDC shows that gay youth are at increased risk for suicide, as well as for 7 of the 10 dangers it tracks. The CDC found that 8 to 19% of heterosexual students are cigarette smokers, but that range skyrockets to between 20 to 48% among gay and lesbian students, depending on the location surveyed.
The Wyoming Supreme Court has ruled that a lesbian couple who married in Canada can legally divorce in the state. Paula Christensen and Victoria Lee Christensen married in 2008. In 2010, they filed for divorce, but a Wyoming district court judge said the court did not have the jurisdiction to grant the divorce because same-sex marriage is not recognized in the state. However, the state Supreme Court overruled.
The American Fertility Association will host family building tents at gay pride festivals nationally in Boston, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, and San Francisco, and will debut its new GLBT handbook, which provides answers and insights to those wishing to start families.
Jack Kevorkian, the Michigan physician known as Dr. Death for his role in helping terminally ill patients commit suicide, has died at 83 of a blood clot in his heart. Kevorkian, who assisted in about 130 suicides and was convicted of second-degree murder in 1999, filed a lawsuit in the mid-1990s with a gay man with AIDS to challenge California's ban on euthanasia. He also recorded a PSA promoting condom usage, saying in the ad, "Why perfectly healthy people would want to commit suicide is beyond me."
Point Foundation, the nation's largest scholarship-granting organization for GLBT students of merit, has announced its 2011 scholar class. 34 scholars were chosen from 2,000 applicants. Over a decade, the foundation has helped more than 160 scholars with more than $5.3 million in direct financial support for their college education.
Federal and local government officials and law enforcement authorities have been asked to implement a long-term strategy to address violence against LGBT individuals in Puerto Rico. Three LGBT Puerto Ricans have been found dead over the past several days, and 18 LGBT Puerto Ricans have been murdered over the last year and a half.
Washington State Attorney General Rob McKenna, a Republican, plans to run for governor next year, but experts say that he will have to distance himself from past anti-gay statements in order to win. Governor Chris Gregoire, a Democrat who is a GLBT ally, is not expected to run for a third term.
A USA Today study has found that one-third of HIV-positive people are diagnosed so late that they develop AIDS within 1 year. Also, Florida, New York, Texas, Georgia, and New Jersey have the largest epidemics and the highest numbers of late diagnoses. The issue has taken on new urgency due to a National Institutes of Health study showing that HIV therapy cuts the risk that an infected person will pass HIV to sexual partners by 96%.
Virginia's attorney general recommended that there should be no protections for individuals based on sexual orientation. However, the state's Board of Juvenile Justice unanimously voted to ban sexual orientation-based discrimination. More than 800 young people are housed by the juvenile justice system in Virginia. 8% of boys and 23% of girls in juvenile detention do not identify as heterosexual.
In world news, many followed the saga of the Syrian woman behind the blog A Gay Girl in Damascus, who was supposedly kidnapped last week, but it turns out that it was all a fraud. Tom McMaster, a 40-year-old man from Georgia working on his master's degree at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland, had been writing the blog for years under the pseudonym Amina Araf. On June 12th, McMaster, a Middle East peace activist, apologized on the blog. While the narrative voice may have been fictional, the facts on this blog are true and not misleading as to the situation on the ground, he wrote. I do not believe that I have harmed anyone. I feel I have created an important voice for issues that I feel strongly about.
Utilizing illegal maneuvers, Stephanie Nicole married her female partner Elise in France's first ever state-approved same-sex marriage. Nicole is a transgender woman who did not file paperwork with French authorities after her gender reassignment surgery. So when she sought a marriage license with Elise in the city of Nancy, the couple was not denied because Nicole was still classified as male. In January, France's constitutional court upheld the nation's ban on same-sex marriage.
In Australia, Aaron James Johnstone, 29, killed a 46-year-old housemate, Philip Higgins, because the victim allegedly made drunken sexual advances. Johnstone said he lost it when Higgins reportedly drunkenly propositioned him for oral sex. Prosecutor Mark Roquefort said that Johnstone beat Higgins with a statue and an office chair for a prolonged period.
In Wellington, New Zealand, more than 300 pro-LGBT advocates marched in response to a series of attacks on gays and transgender individuals. There have been four attacks within the Wellington region in recent months, and the protesters said homophobia is an increasing problem.
In entertainment news, Patti LaBelle has been accused of ordering an attack on 23-year-old Richard King, a senior who attended the United States Military Academy at West Point, who allegedly got too close to her luggage at George H.W. Bush Intercontinental Airport in Houston. King filed a lawsuit claiming he was attacked by LaBelle's bodyguards. However, videos showed King interacting with a driver and a bodyguard before they pushed him to the ground. King has been suspended from West Point for 1 year.
British singer Adele has canceled the remaining 9 dates on her sold-out North American tour because of an ongoing illness. The singer had already postponed 5 shows because of laryngitis.
South African runner Caster Semenya finished second in the 800-meter race in her U.S. debut at the Prefontaine Classic in Eugene, Oregon. Semenya won a race of the same length at the 2009 World Championships, but had to sit out a year to await results of gender testing.
Gay icon Judy Garland's 1961 Carnegie Hall concert is the subject of the upcoming documentary Stay All Night. The famous show will serve as the basis of an exploration of Garland's 60s comeback. Even though no film footage of the concert exists, the documentary will provide insight by interviewing attendees and using sound clips from the album Judy at Carnegie Hall.
Movie star Josh Duhamel will return in August to All My Children in the role of Leo Dupre before the canceled ABC soap folds in September. He won a Daytime Emmy in 2002 for portraying Dupre.
The Seattle Mariners have become the fourth team in Major League Baseball that will film an It Gets Better video. Openly gay Mariners fan and Iraq War veteran Eric Williams asked the Mariners to step up to the plate. The Chicago Cubs and Boston Red Sox have also pledged to film videos.
Comedian and 30 Rock actor Tracy Morgan has been accused of homophobia. In Morgan's stand-up act in Nashville, Tennessee, Morgan went on a viciously anti-gay rant. Morgan later sent the following statement. I want to apologize to my fans and the gay and lesbian community for my choice of words at my recent stand-up act in Nashville. I'm not a hateful person and don't condone any kind of violence against others. While I am an equal opportunity jokester, and my friends know what is in my heart, even in a comedy club, this clearly went too far and was not funny in any context.
Chloe Sevigny is playing a transgender character in the upcoming British drama Hit and Miss. Sevigny, age 36, will take on the role of Mia in the 6-episode drama. Mia is a transgender hitman who has fathered several children. Sevigny played Lana Tisdale, a woman who falls in love with a transgender man, Brandon Tina, in the 1999 movie Boys Don't Cry.
MTV has axed the United States version of the British TV show Skins after one season due to low ratings. The show began amid controversy when the Paris Television Council claimed the series broke child pornography laws. The show also had some negative buzz in the LGBT community because the U.S. show replaced a gay male student with a lesbian character, a development some thought took place to titillate heterosexual males.
More than 100,000 people have signed a petition to President Obama in support of same-sex marriage. Freedom to Marry's I Do open letter to Obama now has been signed by many celebrities, including Melissa Etheridge, Martin Sheen, Natalie Portman, Caroline Kennedy, and Cyndi Lauper.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, this is Pam Ann speaking. Fasten your seatbelts, frequent flyers. You're flying the Windy City Queercast.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. It's been 6 years since writer-director Terrence Malick's last movie, The New World, and years elapsed between that and the one before it, and more years before the one that preceded it. Like Stanley Kubrick before him, each new Malick film arrives with quote-unquote event status. The Tree of Life, which just won the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival, certainly lives up to that standard. Like his other films, The Tree of Life fuses the natural world to Malick's narrative. However, unlike The New World, The Thin Red Line, Days of Heaven, or Badlands, this movie, which ostensibly tells the story of a stern autocrat played by Brad Pitt holding sway over his wife and his three sons in Waco, Texas during the 1950s, is light years beyond what Malick has previously attempted. At one point, the movie digresses into a 25-minute retelling of the birth of the cosmos, Earth, and civilization, complete with dinosaurs. The sequence is reminiscent of Kubrick's 2001, so get out your acid tabs, folks. Then, seamlessly, unbelievably, Malick returns to the story of Pitt and his family without missing a beat. It evolves into a variation on the Cain and Abel story amidst the loss of innocence of the eldest son. Stuffed with gorgeous imagery, fluid camera work, and marvelous performances from Pitt, Sean Penn, Jessica Chastain, and newcomer Hunter McCracken, most of whom speak their dialogue in voiceover, Malick's movie is a true hybrid, a dense mixture of so many film, art, and music elements, I wasn't sure at its conclusion whether I had attended a movie or religious service. Audiences will argue the merits of his groundbreaking work for decades to come, but I'm convinced that I've witnessed a masterpiece. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute. How about that?
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hello.
For the week of June 13th, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Say it loud and proud, I'm with the homosexuals. About Face Theater presents The Homosexuals by Philip Dawkins, running now through July 24th at Victory Gardens Richard Christensen Theater, starring Patrick Andrews, Scott Bradley, Stephen Cohn, Eddie Diaz, John Francisco, Elizabeth Leto, and Benjamin Sprunger. This hilarious and heartwarming play is for anyone who's ever fallen in love with a friend. Get your tickets now at aboutfacetheater.com.
Lifeline Theater concludes its 28th anniversary season of unforgettable books brought to life with a world premiere adaptation of Richard Adams' beloved novel Watership Down through this Sunday, June 19th. For more, visit lifelinetheater.com.
Pride Films and Plays celebrates Pride Month with Gay UK, great new gay plays from Britain. This week, enjoy the off-Broadway hit The Pride on June 19th, directed by Nick Bowling at Theatre Wit. For more, visit pridefilmsandplays.com.
Writers Theatre presents Heartbreak House, directed by William Brown, a sly and maddeningly modern expert writer's revival, raves Time Out Chicago. The Sun-Times proclaims Heartbreak House to be unquestionably brilliant. Tickets are selling out. Order yours today at writerstheatre.org.
Melodies and Mayhem fill the stage at Chicago Shakespeare Theatre in Murder for Two, the killer new musical that delivers fun to die for, according to the Chicago Sun-Times. A hilarious whodunit featuring two virtuoso performances. As one actor investigates a crime, the other plays all 13 suspects, and both play the piano. For more, visit chicagoshakes.com.
Don't miss the June 25th concert event, Applause, Applause, a celebration of the Tony Award-winning talents of Charles Strauss, with Broadway star Christine Ebersole and featuring performances from Strauss's landmark shows by award-winning guest artists and Strauss himself. For tickets, visit tic.northwestern.edu, playing at Pixdiger Hall in Evanston.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
My Lord, how the rains came down. Waters made a mighty sound. When the
Stephen Petro's Complete Gay and Lesbian Manners for Every Occasion, the definitive guide to LGBT life, is a practical, funny, insightful look at how we deal with many of life's situations as GLBT people in a mannerly fashion. Also, how our straight allies show up appropriately with GLBT friends and family members. You can call him our very own Emily Post or Amy Vanderbilt. Stephen Petro is a former member of the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association. He's a columnist on manners for the Huffington Post, which we love, for gayweddings.com, Q Syndicate. He was also the first same-sex wedding curator for the New York Times and has written for papers across the U.S. And his previous book includes the essential book of gay manners and etiquette and When Someone You Know Has AIDS. And so you might think that having manners as a gay person is the same as a straight person, right? But there are circumstances that we find ourselves in because of our sexuality and our relationships where we may differ and where we may find ourselves in a unique position. And let me tell you, Stephen has thought of it in this Bible, dare I say, of gay and lesbian manners. So I'm thrilled to have him on the show. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
I'm great, Amy. So glad to be here and to be talking to a real debutante.
I know. I did come out and then I came out, you know?
That's exciting. A double.
You know, everyone should come out a couple of times. I know that I'm calling you in the South, and there is something that's in our blood or in the sweet tea or our legacy in which the focus on manners in my life has been strident and almost the way in which I feared punishment. If I didn't show up or present in a particular way, that is very much a part of my upbringing and what was the right thing to do and the right thing to say and the right way to act. But as adults, we have choices around this. And I see from your book and the legacy that you're continuing that manners are still important. Why are manners important to us as a society?
Well, let me start off by saying that I'm not the kind of manners expert, sort of from the old days, and like Emily Post and Amy Vanderbilt, because I'm not trying to tell people what's proper or what's right or wrong. I think that we're sort of a little bit beyond that, and the whole point really of doing this book and and being interested in manners was to help folks in our community navigate some of the new circumstances, many of the new circumstances that we're finding, and they're confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And things like planning a same-sex wedding or commitment ceremony, or when you bring home that little baby, and how do you communicate to your friends and family questions about who the parents are, surrogates? There are all these new relationships, and
sure.
So that's confusing. For many. And so that was kind of the main reason. And I try to sort of chart those waters without being, without being prissy and without doing any finger wagging. I try to keep the word should out of the book as much as possible.
Oh, very good. So that's already one of the things that we get to learn is that we there aren't any shoulds in this book. There are suggestions of ways to ease your way through these waters.
Yes, and the subtitle is a guide to LGBT life. So I feel strongly to tell people take what works for you, leave the rest. Discuss with me and with others. There's one of the things that's just fascinating about our community and our culture right now is just how everything is evolving so quickly. And that small book I did 15 or 16 years ago, the Essential Book of Gay Manners, that was before. Before chat, really, almost before the internet, before Ellen, before just so much has happened in this world, and so it's the transformation is enormous in this generation, and in a sense, this book kind of marks the fact that the time has come to understand our territory a little bit more, and also to help straight people as they interact with us in all these same kind of situations as well.
Is it true? I'm having this thought just in listening to you talk that maybe it's not that people have less manners today, but as you say, change is happening so exponentially that people just don't know what to do. And if they knew how to handle themselves, perhaps they would show up differently in certain situations.
I think that's a large part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just think about what's going on Facebook and Twitter, it's a wild west out there.
Right.
And, and it's crazy. And, some people come out on Facebook with a status update and, then they shock the world. Others use it different ways. They break up on Facebook. A lot of people don't even understand what's on their wall, what's a private message. So there's kind of just that craziness there that I'm trying to help people navigate through the technology as well.
Mm-hmm.
Can you break up with someone via text? I think that if you've slept with him or her, you shouldn't break up via text.
Right. But, we saw that, of course.
At least use the phone. But of course, in the old days, you would have said, "Well, actually, talk to them." But manners evolve, and what don't evolve though are the values behind all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in that way, LGBT people and straight people are largely the same.
Mm-hmm.
We have the same values overall of respect and self-respect, or I hope that we do, and that underpins all of this.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about dating, because one of the things that is an interesting question, perhaps for some, you know, is that in the dating world, the sex dating world, you have two people of the same gender in our relationships. And if we are holding to old beliefs or old systems, how, you know, in like our parents' generation, or even I think just a couple of generations ago, it was still the role for the male, the role for the female. And when we have people in same-sex relationships, what does that challenge us to see as how we show up in relationship to others?
Well, Taya, that's a question that I've gotten a lot via my website, gaymatters.com. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what the specific question has often been, when I'm going on a first date, how do I know whether I should pay, mm-hmm. whether he should pay, so on and so forth? And, you know, in the very, you know, old world, it was, you know, the man pays for,
right.
you know, for the woman. And, you know, that's clearly evolved in
and you wait for the man to call, and you wait for the man
right.
to open the door. You wait for the man. If you have two men or if you have two women, the two women could wait for the man all till the cows come home.
Yeah. So that's a great example. And what I, you know, what I suggest to people, and again, it's a suggestion,
right.
is that the one who asks the other out should be the one who pays. So I say, you know, who asks, he pays, she pays. And it's not the sort of thing that you have to do, but it can bring some clarity to it.
Mm-hmm.
And what you also want to hope at the same time is that the invitation is in a way that you understand that you're being asked out, like, would you be my date? Mm-hmm. Would you be my guest to this? You know, a lot of times things are murky, you know, in the world, and you don't have that kind of clarity. And then,
right.
you know, you kind of have to feel it out. And I just tell people, you know, don't get in a tug of war about this, you know, pick it up if you want, share it, and don't make a big deal out of it, and you know, and let it go on to the next thing. But we don't have the set of rules to fall back on,
right?
And you know, and the same thing, you know, should I wait for her to call me, and so on and so forth? You know, we're all equals here, and
mm-hmm.
you know, in a sense, we get to be our authentic selves too,
right?
And to do what feels right, and act on that,
right? And, you know, online dating, once again, you've already mentioned the world of the online world, which is not unique to just GLBT people, but it is a unique place in which we can define and connect ourselves as GLBT people that we didn't have a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we do embrace this new technology as a way to meeting each other.
Well, gay people have been early adopters of mm-hmm. online dating, and you know, that's been, you know, it's really been a wonderful thing for the most part. And I think that, you know, you can really use these dating and hookup sites to find exactly what you want. I mean, it used to be, you know, you couldn't really say, because you didn't have the medium to do that, you know, I'm looking for a hookup, or I'm looking for a romantic date.
Right.
Or I'm a top or a bottom, or whatever that is.
Right.
Now, you know, you can put that all out there, as long as you're honest, which apparently from studies I've read, 90% of people aren't, but you can put mm-hmm. all of that out there.
Right.
And, you know, and ease the process and actually find people that you may be compatible with and vice versa. And that's, you know, that's a huge change.
Mm-hmm.
It does sort of disconcert me that so many people seem to tell untruths, and I said, you know, the problem with doing that is so then you wind up meeting this person for the first time, and then you have to explain either why you're older, why you're fatter, you know, why you're this, and that kind of gets in the way.
Right. Yeah, what doesn't change is that people still have to get comfortable with themselves. It doesn't matter really what time or what age we're talking about, right? I mean, that can happen for
right.
some people at a very young age. That can take people a lifetime. And, and being comfortable with oneself, then you don't have a problem in being clear and direct and honest in your communication or how you present yourself.
Exactly. And you know what you said at the top of the segment, we were joking, you know, that you had two coming outs. And
mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things, one of the most important chapters to me in the book is the coming out chapter, and
mm-hmm.
really helping, first of all, young people have that conversation. But one of the points I make is that we, you know, it's usually not just one coming out and you're done,
yeah,
bam.
Yeah.
You know, that
it's a lifetime.
It's a lifetime. You're in different situations. You know, when I've started a new job, you know, I've had to come out usually during the interview. I've chosen to come out.
Mm-hmm.
When my partner and I moved to Chapel Hill here from San Francisco, you know, oh, how is your brother? I mean, that was their first assumption.
Right.
My brother.
Right.
So it is really this lifelong process, and I think most people find that it gets easier as you do it over and over. And so, by far the largest number of questions I've gotten from people have been from younger people, seeking guidance on how do you have that conversation with mm-hmm. your best friend or with your parents, and what do you do when you get a negative reaction? And, I say, have a plan, have a support system, feel good about yourself. If you're really sort of not feeling good, people will sense that and think, well, this is not a good choice for you. And if you can sort of take those three steps, mm-hmm. You're well on your way. And, and also getting into a more manly part of it is if you respect the people you're telling and you're honest and truthful with them, they should reciprocate. Mm-hmm. And most people do.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that you also spend, a section on talking about the families that we create. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about our own families, the families we build, and then starting our own families. It all seems to be about what happens around a family dynamic, right? There are many chapters in this
yes,
book
yes.
about family dynamics. And often it's where we feel the most licensed to probably have the least amount of manners because they're our close family. I mean, seriously, though, right?
Oh, I'm laughing because I'm thinking of myself.
Uh-huh. And then we wonder why we feel like we live in a dysfunctional family, right? Or we are perpetuating dysfunction perhaps within our own relationships or our own family. What are some of the key areas in which you explore in the book about family?
Well, one of the key differences between my book and some of the traditional etiquette books, or really all of the traditional etiquette books, is that those books still define family pretty much as the 1950s mom and dad, two kids type of thing, and
yep.
and that even when they talk about gay people in relationships, they're in quote alternative families mm-hmm. or they're in dysfunctional families the way they talk about it. So
right.
I was very purposeful in trying to sort of recreate how we understand in our community who our family is, and that our closest friends can be as much our family, and if not closer to us, than the people we're related to by blood. And I love this quote from Armistead Maupin, who talked about our biological family as opposed to our logical families, and our logical families are the people who really support and love us.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the other question that you asked about, how to put some of the fun back into dysfunction. And, there, I think it also, particularly in terms of coming out and bringing a partner home and integrating your family into a life that may be different than theirs,
right.
It takes a certain amount of patience, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a certain amount of respect for them. And also, again, the understanding that you're not flaunting anything. You're simply being yourself.
Right.
And I remember about 15 years ago, my great aunt invited my brother and his wife to a family party, but she would not invite my partner. And she said, well, you would be flaunting your lifestyle simply by bringing him.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad actually called her and said, well, Stephen's partner is as much a part of our family as his brother's wife is, and if he's not invited, none of us are coming.
Hmm.
And none of us wound up going to that party. And I was really proud of my dad, for sort of defining our family, in an inclusive way like that. And it wasn't always like that. It took that time and patience.
Well, and you have this reference book does give our straight family members and friends and allies some ways in which they can show up. And you just defined one way, which your father. But why was it important to put that in this book, from that perspective as well? The straight talk, so to speak.
Yeah, the straight talks, it's interesting. Initially, it wasn't part of the book, but mm-hmm. then I started actually getting questions from straight people asking what to do, asking about a lot about language, and mm-hmm. Some of them were relatively simple, you know, is it okay to use sexual preference? And then, you know, I would explain, well, actually not so much, because sexual orientation is really the more, you know, correct thing, but it also is closer to what identity is about. It's not, you know, it's not a choice. And then, you know, there were questions about what pronoun to use for a trans person. And these were all, you know, really legitimate and confusing questions. Again, sort of all this evolving rather quickly. And so I thought that that it would really make sense to include those types of questions here, both for the straight people who read the book, but I think also for the LGBT people who maybe want to share this with their coworkers and
right.
their family members and their friends, and to have, you know, to have a piece of advice, say, hey, take a look at this, you know, and then they don't have to explain why, you know, why making an anti-gay joke is really not funny, or why the phrase "that's so gay" is kind of offensive. It takes a little bit of the burden off, and it becomes part of the tools that I hope people will use.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I think, you know, there's a, in doing this interview, I found a quote that Goethe had said, a man's manners are a mirror in which he shows his portrait. And what I love about that, you know, because I really do think we can say a whole bunch of stuff, but our actions and how we show up really is what people go away with. Right. And I think
Absolutely.
That, yeah, and I think, I mean, that your whole book is about that, you know. It's a lot about actions we take, and sometimes it's less about what we say or how we say it or putting please on the end of a sentence, you know. And I think it's murky to our straight allies, because it's murky to us, because we'll have gay people say that's so gay, or we for a long time, I think this is something that has become less than, but you know, the use of the word fag or the use of the word faggot or, you know, and not in a powering way that you might hear a woman say the word dyke, but, you know, so we as a community are so diverse that we don't send clear and direct messages out to our straight allies, and then we expect them to show up to us in a way that's acceptable to us, right?
Exactly. And, you know, on those questions of language, that's, you know, that is a really important question that has come up, because, you know, we do use them, those words, and, you know, it's generally fine, you know, within our community to use, you know, faggot and dyke and queer and so on and so forth. But I have noticed, you know, when they're used with straight people, it becomes unclear, well, if they're using that word or if I'm using that word, well, can I use it? And,
yeah.
And you know, when you're part of a group, it's one thing. And when you're outside of a group, it's another. But
right.
that really adds another, you know, another layer of complexity. And so, you know, I've tackled that straight on, you know. It's a, you know, for a straight person to use those words is offensive and pejorative, and
right.
it gets to, you know, it does get to a lot of the intent, and intent I think is so, you know, so important, because you know, I mess up, you know, everyone messes up, and you know, it's not like we're keeping score, and I think that, you know, when it comes down to it, it is about intent and what you're trying to express or do, and sure, we're going to you know, we're going to make mistakes along the way, but I think if your heart's in the right place, so much of it really doesn't matter. And
right.
you know, so many people get hung up on, well, you know, you have to write a thank you note, or you have to do this or that. You know, there are all kinds of ways to express gratitude in life, and that's the most important thing in a situation like that. Not, you know, putting pen to paper.
Right. Right. And I also think, you know, we live in this, we can live in a double standard where it's like, oh, it's okay for me to talk bad about my brother, but you can't talk bad, you know, you can't talk bad about my brother. And in reality, I mean, personally, I don't want to talk bad about my brother to you or to anybody else. I mean, I might have a confidant that I can express something that I'm frustrated with, but to talk to massive amounts of people, I actually, Hank, I have no problems with you. I'm just using you as an example. But but you know, it is that kind of double standard that I think this book brings kind of laser clarity to, like, what are we doing? What are our actions saying, as you call it now, intent behind what we do? And And this book is a really great guide because, you know, hey, we're not all living the same life. We're not all going to have kids. We don't all want to get married. But we probably all go to a party or have had to come out to somebody. Most of us have a job, and unfortunately, because we all are people and life happens, we're going to deal with illness and grieving and loss and how we show up to these unique life experiences. And that's what I love about this book, because how you've set it up, not only is it set up, you know, chapter to chapter, but there are all these questions, because you say on your website, you know, people email you in questions, and you have set these queries or questions up in which you answer, and then you expand on those topics and explore, which makes it a great guide, you know, that I can go in and see what's going on with me right now. Getting into a new relationship, or I'm starting to date, or we're thinking of having a ceremony. How is that different for us as GLBT people? Maybe we can't talk to our parents and it be exactly relatable.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for your very kind words. And I really appreciate that. And I tried to make this book, you know, a fun to read reference book or an encyclopedia. And it's, you know, some of my friends have sat down with it, and it's a big fat book, as you know, and they've been going through it page by page. But it's really the kind of book that I think you want to, you know, you want to pick up at different points in your life, you know,
right,
when you're coming out, maybe your first, you know, long-term relationship or what appears to be that, you know, there's a whole chapter on sex etiquette, which we haven't really touched on, but, you know, there are questions in there, you know, if you're about to have sex with someone who's never had sex before, you know,
right,
how can you help, you know, that situation? What about folks who, you know, when do you talk about your sexual history? But, you know,
Your HIV AIDS status, like when do you talk about,
you know,
that, or STD status or any of that?
You know, and you know, there's really, you know, in so many of the other guidebooks, manuals books, you know, you can't, sex isn't even touched upon. It's like when you get to the bedroom, the door closes, and then this book goes into the back room, into public sex, and you know, and so on and so forth.
And fetishes and all of that. I mean, we don't want to say that this is all a white-gloved kind of book.
No.
You know, it's definitely for our community. It is very much for, and also I really appreciate your trans references, because even as gay and lesbian people, we become kind of the outsiders, like the straight talk, you know, there's kind of, for us to kind of understand, that I think actually our younger generation understands better than some of us who are perhaps in our 30s or above, the different changes that are happening with gender identity and trans ways in which we show up to our trans part of our community as well.
What was really important to me, because we were so invisible in the mainstream books overall, and that, you know, across the board, that in doing this book, I did not limit it to gay men and to lesbians, but that, you know, bisexual and transgender people were, you know, were just, you know, a part of the spectrum of, you know, people in communities that, you know, that I addressed. And, you know, there's still, you know, even within our own community, there are prejudices and challenges sort of within that larger community. And
sure.
So, you know, that's, you know, I know that, you know, from my point of view, unfortunately, a lot of, not a lot, but some gay men and lesbians feel that, you know, sexual, that gender identity is, you know, really a different, you know, it's in a different boat than sexual orientation. And, but it's, you know, it's all in there. And,
it is.
You know, and I've worked, you know, very hard, and I had a wonderful co-writer, Sally Chu, also who worked on this with me. And, we really cared a lot about those issues.
Well, the exciting part is that, Stephen is getting ready to go on a 20-city tour. So no matter where you live in the U.S., perhaps Stephen is coming to a town near you. He will be, here in the Chicago area, in the Windy City, right around Pride weekend. I don't know if you're staying all weekend, but it's a good city to celebrate Pride. He'll be here Thursday, June 23rd at 7:30 p.m. at Women and Children Books, Women and Kids, right in Andersonville on Clark Street, north of Foster. Fantastic place to meet Stephen and get him to sign the book, to pick up the book. ask some questions. But and you can check out, where are some other cities that you're going to be, Stephen? You're going to get to see some of the U.S. for a little bit.
I'm going to do 20 cities in about 30 days. So, you know, Miami, Atlanta, New York, Toronto, Detroit, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Phoenix, and so on. So it's all the cities are listed on my website. And part of each store event will be, people will have the opportunity to ask me their questions. So folks should feel free to come prepared to stump Mr. Manners.
Exactly. And you can access Stephen and the book and pose your questions as well at his website, gaymanners.com. That's gaymanners.com. We will have that linked in our show notes. So you can definitely send a shout out to Stephen through the website that, you know, he's coming to your city and you plan on being there. You can buy the book. You can find out if he is coming to your town and the date and the time and the location. And I should say that a portion of, I mean, having really great manners to me is just, once again, being an example. And I think as GLBD people, I hope that we are an example of the great life that we live as gay people, and you know, that we're kind, considerate, authentic people. And so in the spirit of that, a portion of Stephen's proceeds for the book are donated to the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network as we continue to mentor and be an example to future generations through the work that GLSEN does, and also to the National Center for Lesbian Rights. So, it's really, really, really amazing that they have done so much with this book to continue the work beyond just the printed page. So, Stephen, thank you so much for being with us. Have a wonderful time touring in this Pride Month in the U.S. and Canada. And I hope people will come out and see you and buy the book.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. I really enjoyed it, Amy.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everybody, I hope you are ready and getting your outfits planned for all your Gay Pride festivities. Also, I should tell you, the Chicago Force will be on home turf coming up this Pride weekend in a week. Little Bird says that they may be having the playoffs here in Chicago, and I will be there. That is what I will be doing Pride weekend for. Showa is seeing those ladies hit hard over on Foster Avenue. That's going to be a great day in the sun and a lot of fun. I hope you're making your social calendar and leaving some dance card space for that little unexpected something that will pop up, because it's Pride season and people come a-calling and a-texting and possibly a-sexting. But it's all good, and it's all about love and who we love, because that's what makes us gay. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.